On this week's show, discussing podcast OGs with Devin Tilley from the Art of Construction podcast. In this week's news, prefab conduit, more AI, shifting paradigms, and more.
Construction is the world's oldest industry, but spends the least amount of money on innovation. When we realized people outside the construction industry didn't typically associate construction with technology like virtual reality, apps, and robotics, we started the ConTech Crew. Each week, we bring our listeners the latest in ConTech news and interview the minds behind the technological innovations changing the way we build. So strap in, enjoy the ride, and geek out. It's ConTech Crew time.
All right, we're back. And this look might be new to some people. That's right. We're all in one room together, trying out some new gear, having some fun. We're up at Devin's place in Breckenridge. That's right. So all my skier friends, we're coming together in the mountains. This will be a special episode.
Heck yeah. Is that what happens when you are on a podcast? You can go skiing on Thursdays?
Yes.
Part of the deal?
Yeah, it's part of the deal. Well, I can go skiing any day. So let's just be clear. Yeah, I did. I came to Breckenridge and
Street Fighter's down here, you know.
Yeah, I'll deal with it for a little while. We'll see what we can do. Devin, man, it's great. Thanks for having us here at this awesome place.
Yeah,
man.
What an honor to come together.
Yeah, it's such an awesome time to get together. You know we're going to have a little bit of fun, especially because, well, we can banter right here in person, and I can make sure my buddy over here is not on his phone when he's not supposed to be, you know. But the lack of construction noise is going to kill me because I love the construction noise in the background of your house. So
next time.
All right. Before we jump into the episode, y'all know we got to pause for the cause.
Everyone supports a culture of well-being in the field and is equipped with the tools to help prevent suicide in construction. Procore Safety Qualified courses were built in partnership with our customers, elevating enhancements to their standard OSHA training. And the Bringing the Right Mindset series equips individuals and leaders alike with the skills necessary to really build resilient teams. We've made these three courses available for free and on demand, and they're offered both in English as well as Spanish, and they are CEU certifiable. Procore.com/certified-qualified is where we host our Procore's learning portal, and anyone can use their Procore credentials or create a free account to get started.
All right. Remember, we're back on YouTube, youtube.com/@TheConTechCrew. And I have been seeing the signups come through. So really appreciate that. Also, check out those shorts. There's some really good ones. I got some feedback lately from my guest KP Reddy on one of his lately that they can't believe more people haven't even seen it because it was such a good clip. So make sure you jump in, check out the shorts, you know, short attention span theater. We get those things fast.
At the ConTech Crew, we focus on technology that solves industry problems. So today, I want to talk to you about Join. Every construction project is a unique prototype, and it's actually shaped by thousands of decisions that impact the owner's business case, design, and the budget. Today, the communication driving these decisions is disjointed across all the stakeholders. Work happens in email, Excel, estimating, resulting in delays, waiting for decisions, waiting for access to information, and sometimes that information is outdated and incomplete. Managing the expectations of the team and keeping the project moving forward is a constant challenge, and a lot of times drives skepticism amongst the contributors. Join empowers general contractors to build with confidence and maximize the potential of every project by connecting these owners through new workflows that fit into your existing processes. We bring design teams and trade partners into a single platform. There's transparency and collaboration in the decision-making, which builds trusts and sets projects up for success. You might be asking yourself, do you need another tool? Well, let me tell you, Join fits in seamlessly with your processes and your other tools. In fact, we're here to help those other tools. Regardless of your estimating system or your project management process, Join will be a valuable added resource without disrupting those other systems and your teams. So listen, put your spreadsheets on ice and leave your email behind for the decision-making platform for the built environment. Learn more at join.build.
And we're back. All right. So Devin Tilley, founder and host of the Art of Construction podcast.
Yeah.
It's just Art of Construction podcast. I keep putting the the at the front.
It is the Art of Construction. Your Art of Construction or AOC. It could be a lot of things.
That's true.
It's the AOC.
It's the AOC. I like that. You're like the Ohio State for our world of construction podcasts here. Tell everybody who's listening that doesn't know you, you know, a little bit about your story, a little bit about where you are, and, you know, the fact that you are an OG, man. You've been doing this. We started talking about it. Yeah. You've been doing this since we started.
Yeah, yeah. I launched a podcast in 2014 and closing in on my 350th episode. So been cranking at this for a while, and I've been the one leading the mic the whole time with different co-hosts that's really evolved into the Art of Construction Master Facilitators. And I'm really big on the handoffs, and day-to-day I own a window and door company. And what you don't see on the other side of the microphone is some of our master facilitators who were putting a lot of work into kind of reverse engineering and taking where the rubber meets the road, where I just hit 12 years of owning a window and door company. So we supply and install windows and doors in our beautiful state of Colorado, and worked for other supply channel partners before that. So, you know, starting to date myself here when I tell the story, but, you know, 25 years of supply channel, with the last 12 of them being on the ownership side of an entrepreneurial, you know, team building family that's just had so much fun, where my boots are on the ground, but we tie that stuff to the local and global to our, what we call our Global Megaphone podcast, is connecting all that stuff. And we're releasing a podcast. Our next podcast is dropping, which is Nathan Woods with his whole story. And we're super excited where at the end of that, it's all about the handoffs. And what I wanted to do was I said, hey, Nathan, I've been listening to the Contact Crew. I've heard about them for a long time. Let's meet in the middle as we're going to kind of tee this up where we're going to be in Austin in April. So I'm super excited to be here and figure out how to organically and authentically tie all this stuff together.
I love the story because you found the same thing a lot of us found years ago, right? That if you're going to amplify your business, you also need to educate. You need to facilitate conversations. I love the master facilitators part. Talk a little bit about what the master facilitators is and what that process looks like for you guys.
Yeah, thanks for asking. And as the whole thing is a building an audience, right? And to do that is when my goal was to get to 300 shows and have over 500,000 people list. That was my BHAG, my big, hairy, audacious goal when I started this in 2014. And I'm glad to say I did that before. It was kind of the 10-year target or all the stuff you learn in business. And I was learning this stuff as I was trying to, why I started the podcast is I was being asked to start speaking because I really wanted to, you know, I'm a lifelong learner and passionate about putting that stuff out there. But the thing I tell you guys is that I'm a construction guy just like the rest of you, right? And people are like, Devin, you're going to sponsor this event at the local home builders. Get up there and give them this pitch of why they should buy windows and doors from you. I sucked at it. I'd go up there and just make a fool out of myself. I'm like, God, it's just embarrassing, right? You don't want to be the dude that can't hold his weight. You want to make sense of it. Mm-hmm. And so I was trying to get coaching. And then this was right when podcasting was just getting going. And I was like, you know what? I don't have time to do all this other stuff. I'm going to just start this thing. And shout out to my buddy, Nick May, who owns a painting company in Denver. And he was starting and he started IMA Studios and kind of coached me. And he was my first guest and my 100th guest on the podcast. Wow. And I really looked inward in the first 50 I did myself. It was my buddies, my people who made it work. And then we've just continued to expand it from there. So it was my Toastmasters, my this. I do the podcast, listen back, make mistakes. And then I realize, you know, at the end of the day, we're all human trying to figure this out in a technology world. And so now I'm just, the Art of Construction was so many people listen to it, but they listen one way and move on. And a lot of people were saying, you know, Devin, I'd love to meet that person or this or events. And I'm like, you know what? It's time to take it to the next level. But now I'm finding myself reinventing the same thing all over again. It's like I'm having to put myself back into my first 50 friends sign up to the community. And then they don't get engaged like I want them to get engaged. And it's the same data drop chasm all over again of what we do on the Art of Construction. Is in the first 100 episodes, we said it was for contractors and architects. After doing 350 of those, we've settled on builders and affiliates because the word contractor starts with the contract.
And we are not big fans of the contract. We're the builders who actually live it, breathe it, do construction. So builders and affiliates to connect the right construction technologies, hence why I'm honored to be here with you guys, and the right products. Products means a lot of things. Day to day, we supply and install windows and doors. We don't make windows and doors. We don't design windows and doors. We execute. We're trust advisors in the middle. And there's a lot of gooey middle when you say the word products. But at the end of the day, it's all about the right handshakes. And I'm going to challenge the dude on the other side of the camera after we have as much fun as possible on this recording to hike Imperial, because last time I just brought him up there.
So we're going to do, just so you guys know, we're going to do a little hiking. We got a couple of little special guests on the side there that are helping us out that are also waiting to go have the adventures. Because, right, it just kind of goes back to the entire thing you've been doing. It's an adventure.
Well said.
Right? I mean, you start off with an idea. Usually it's wrong. You get rolling. You have to check up. You have to change it. You realize you're not doing the right things or, you know, just getting on that stage, right?
Well, you learn by doing if you're around lifelong learners.
Yeah. And just like you said, when you were talking about getting them up to Imperial and hiking them up there and then finding out he hadn't snowboarded in a long time. Yeah. Well, that's what they did to you on stage. And then you said it, he got his way down. So, you know, you got your way down. You figured out how to do something on those stages. You figured out how to communicate. Talk a little bit about...
And then it's breaking through the ceiling, right? That picture is worth 1,000 words when you hear this story after you listen to this moment in time. And it's always these moment in times. Let's get the best we can out of those to break through the ceiling.
I mean, the thing that comes to my mind, actually, I'm gonna go grab my Shared Gains, new Shared Gains water bottle from our MEP Innovation Conference this week. But talk about shared pains, because, Dev, what you're describing to me is a very different perspective than what, you know, Jeff or I's perspective is, you know, the window and door market. But yet, the way you're describing this industry, the way you're describing the problems, it's almost as if we're looking in a mirror, right? And I think it's important for folks to understand that you're not a technologist first. You're a business operator first. And kind of this whole, what is your tech stack? I think you do a great job of explaining a little bit of like how you guys got set up for, because a lot of our audience is technologists. Can you talk a little bit about like, as a business person, what is your guys' tech stack? Are you guys set up?
Yeah, the part, you know, I've been thinking a lot about how to not answer that for 2 hours and not waste the person listening on the other end of this.
Yeah, the 30-second answer. Right?
Because if I'm listening to me talk right now, I'm like, I don't want to hear another story about what is BIM and 10 years ago is supposed to be and what is 10 years from now about this silver bullet software, because there's no such thing. You got to shared pains and shared gains is, we just released a podcast with my buddy Roni, who's the founder of FieldFlow, and he found a pain of subcontracting around asbestos and built that up into now he's working with a bunch of cool stuff. But he's in the different silos of like his lead channels through World of Concrete, which is this different place. But for us, it was the pain of running a window and door company. Same reason I started the podcast. You have to blend things together because you have to be a master facilitator. You got to be a jack of all trades to break through the ceiling. And for us at the window and door company, it was, you know, I had worked for different other dealers. The one of the guy I worked with before, like his PO system was anybody in the company walks up to the 3-ring binder, writes a number down there and does this. This was not very long ago, folks. Mm-hmm. Still does it this way. And he's been doing it for 40 years that way. I tell you that story because I was like, man, think about the low hanging fruit. So when I bought out the partner, I was like, I got to have a data set to build from. Didn't really know what that meant at the time, but it was like, I got to have a data set. And we just released a podcast about a CFO is there to help you understand cash and your internal numbers. An accountant is to do P&Ls and reporting. I tell you that story is because for us, it was how do I take QuickBooks as a chuck and a truck window company and bolt that into some kind of CRM to grow from there. And we were one of the first customers of a platform called Method that they had just built an API that did a 15 minutes synced everything from QuickBooks to their CRM tool. And then I didn't even know what an ERP was, but we hired a kid that was amazing and custom programmed all this stuff that now we're in this space of, it's hard to remodel a house as I've been listening to your podcast versus tear it down and start over. But which one do you do when you're trying to run and operate a business? That's kind of where we're at now. And I just hit 12 years and we've been at that for 12 years trying to figure that out.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, what's that expression? You're trying to rebuild the plane while you're flying it. That's right. You don't get a chance.
I think that's everybody if they're open and honest about it. You can't just try and Nathan and I were talking about that on the way up here, and I said, Nathan, I really want to carpool with you on the way up here because every conversation we have 10 more pain points we want to solve. And I was like, what is the biggest pain? And it's really about what software paradigm shifts do you make? Because I used to be, and it would drive my team crazy. I would listen to the contact crew or another place and I'd hear 10 different tools and I would start trying to want to integrate them. But the problem is if nobody's following, you're just wasting everybody's time. So it's first getting culture and psychology and all these things that the longer you run the great game of business, the more you say, if I did it all over again, I would make sure I'd have a accountability chart with a culture and a core value statement that you can build from. We just did that in the GUI middle and we're crushing it now, but rebuilding the IT house along with that, challenging.
Yeah, well, it's funny because I get a lot of strange looks when I go in anywhere and my first thing is, what's your mission statement? You know, what's your values? How do those align? And they go, you're here for tech. And I'm like, no, I'm not. Right? Like, it's really about culture. It's about, you know, everybody wants a frictionless culture. No, actually, good friction is good for companies. Yeah. Right? That it helps slow down. It helps you connect with the reality of things that are going on. And also, you know, allows you to take in the other perspectives, to look at it. Technology, and we've said this probably way too many times on this podcast, so, you know, technology to an inefficient problem can make you effectively suck, right? You can get to suck way faster with technology.
Which, that's the age-old thing, but we have to say that over and over again for people like me that want to be so tech-forward, that you got to meet the businesses, the industries, the municipalities, and most importantly, your team where they are.
Yeah.
And I think that's where you're hitting on is that this, call it a level one of your tech stack is as a business owner, the things that I can control, here are the things that I want to pick and here's the systems. But I know a lot of what you're trying to do is push towards offsite and push towards this DFMA and this prefab stuff. And that's like a systems too, where you got to start dealing with other companies, other people's systems. And that just adds that much more complexity, right?
And bringing internal and external champions together, like, today is such a fun day for me because I am passionate about making connections. And anybody that knows Devin, whenever you introduce me to someone, my goal is to introduce you to 10 more people back. And that's the go-giver philosophy that I try to do in making these connections. And why I do that is because you have to be able to look inward of where things are today to be able to break through the ceiling. There's way too many people coming just outside in that don't know how the sausage is made. And construction is messy. And you have to figure that out. And just streamlining stuff by starting, are we going to build from Google or Microsoft as a partnership? Are we going to do Surface Pros or this? Are we going to do SharePoint or that? Like, conversations like that have to, we miss it in our own company every day. And we've like finally like breaking it down. I fired myself, getting other people to buy in to say, okay, what are we going to call our team's channels and how are they going to build with the rest of the partnership?
Jeff, is your hair raising right now?
Oh, no, I'm loving it. I'm loving it because I want to break down a couple of things there. One thing that's really interesting, especially for those folks listening in that are building companies that are going through the process you are, where you're talking systems one and systems two. In that process, each person in your organization is in a different space and comfort level in those new spaces that you're creating. That's the interesting part, is like, you can have a seasoned installer and now you're saying, okay, we want to move more of this offsite. Well, now they're in a really new place and it's really uncomfortable and you have to meet them right there.
Communicating change is such a big deal.
Well, but we look at so many people in the organization look at their people like, oh, they're a master of things. They'll be fine. We're just doing this now. No. They're now uncomfortable. They're now in a space of having to learn. They might have some anxiety, some things around that. You have to be open to talking about that, meeting them where they are. And then, you know, the other one that I don't think enough people listening in take stock on, you took stock on push, 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 right? You only have so much political capital.
Yeah.
You need to spend it very, very wisely and very consistently, right? That's why, you know, it's funny, we were just at MEP Innovations, a lot of conversation about bringing agile and other technology tool type processes into our world and how they're misunderstood. Right? Everybody thinks that if they go agile, oh, that means I get to do everything. And I'm like, no, one of the core tenets of agile is understanding sustainable goals that don't burn anybody out and not dipping into that.
And I got to bring up one thing there of, I always talk about the riches and the niches, and I've done so many things wrong in my career, but one thing I think I've done right is I've stuck to my core from the beginning. It's not Devin Tilley's podcast. It's The Art of Construction. And I always ask the question of, when I'm not quite sure, I ask the question. I haven't been to that conference and I hear agile and speaking dialects of construction. I don't even know what that is.
Okay. See?
And I'm bringing that up to just call myself out, because I think there's a lot of people that listen. I get a lot of feedback when I really get people to open up and get trust and get over the fear of the psychology that we in construction of actually, like, just what's the definition of that, versus I could sit here and Google it while I'm talking to you, or we could get it to where we're getting on the same page.
Yes. Yeah.
And saying, I've never heard that.
Because, or I could just AI and it'll teach me that. Well, who's teaching who what?
Yeah. No, and just to take a quick step back, we'll do a quick educational pause, because, yeah, again, I'm a big lean advocate, lean construction. And so lean all originates from Toyota and Toyota system. And so agile is actually the software developers, you know, world derivative of that same lean culture and lean process, but it's much more focused on the fact that you can do these design sprints and produce a product in 4 weeks.
So construction, agile to lean is in your guys' world is common data language to QuickBooks and Chuck in a truck starting a install company is, right? Like, because as you scale, you go to different tools.
Well, and the tool is just one part of it, right? The lean is actually the process part. So if we look at that Venn diagram of the technology, the process, and the people, which is what we're always talking about, right?
Right.
The technology is the capabilities you just talked about, APIs, whatnot. The lean, the agile. Is,
yeah, the process. And getting, you know, as a lifelong learner, getting the right education. So at the beginning, I appreciate asking on the art of construction. It was like the art of construction master facilitators. One of the best things I usually relate to in others is like, we've grown up in the industry, but we are lifelong learners that have tried and figured out process. Like a lot of the people that have adopted to me through the art of the master facilitator program, I've went through the entrepreneur operating system. So we have run these businesses and we go latch onto these tools. And now we're taking that and constructifying that, as you see things like the E-Myth Revisited now has 15 different books. But it's that person's perspective, and you have to figure out how to put that all together because it changes. That's what we're trying to do with the master facilitators.
I really love that. And so I like that you called us out on it too, because it's something we talk about on like the Dorkcast, we don't do it. And on this podcast, we really try to do exactly that. We're always putting people into places that we forget they don't know. So, and I did Google it for you, but that's just because I wanted her. That's just because I wanted to read it. So because what I want you to understand is
that is our common language. Google,
right, Google
is a big common
is our
language.
Common language. But it is at its core, it's project management philosophy, right? But it shifts the project management philosophy. There's a manifesto you can read, and I can send it. But this is the core values of it: individuals and interaction over process and tools. Working software over comprehensive documentation, and customer collaboration over contract negotiation. Basically, it was the way for software developers to find lean methodologies to streamline the process of building software, where we used to, Devin would have an idea that his window and door company needed an ERP system. And I would sit down with you and we'd talk for hours and you'd give me all of the things that you thought you needed. And then I would take that and I would go into a room with a bunch of really smart people and I would design something that you totally didn't need. And I would do it all to soup to nuts done. And I would bring it back to you and I'd be like, Devin, here it is. And you'd go, the hell is this? This is a giant piece of junk that I didn't need. And we realized, and we did that, it was called Waterfall. And we did that software development process for a very long time. And then Agile came around and said, no, what we're going to do is I'm going to sit down and go, Devin, what is it that you want? Oh, you want these few things. Okay, we're going to start there. We're going to create a data structure for you and we're going to create a UI for you. And in 2 to 4 weeks, we're going to come back and go, what do you think? And you're going to go, Love that, hate that, love that. What is that? Okay, we go back. We start, and now we start iterating this process. But at every release point, we give you something functioning. It might not be fully documented yet. It might not be fully finished, but it is usable. And your feedback makes sure that I continue and we as a team continue to build a software that's going to fulfill those needs. And, you know, then scale that out. Now I'm not just talking to Devin. I'm talking to 20 Windows and door manufacturer installers. And now I'm building something the industry really needs. And I can do it really, really quickly. And it's something that's of value at every given point. So what's cool is in construction, we've taken lean and agile and we've mixed them together because what do? We design buildings in software now. That software is new and is being developed. So we're getting that constant feedback loop, but we're also doing lean manufacturing in our prefab shops, exactly what you want for design for manufacturing and assembly. Yes. So this way of combining the two methods that really work well together for quick interactions, shorter cycles, and true feedback loops on it works and it doesn't work is now what at MEP Innovations has become the topic. It's funny because I saw, we did some data work while we were there. Jonathan Marsh from Steel Toe Consulting and the team, Amanda Communal from ASC Engineering, Engineered Solutions was on there and they did this mentee where they poll the crowd. And it was interesting because, you know, they asked for what the top software impact was going to be. And I think everybody would have bet on an AI or something. And the leader was fabrication technology, automated fabrication tools. And there was a lot of people surprised by that. And I'm like, I don't think you should be, because what I think is it's the integration of the technology to the fabrication and design process for fabrication. So that design for assembly, design for manufacturing, that connection that's powerfully going to happen. And that is a critical component. And that's why I think it took the top, because people are thinking of it as one linear thing and it's not.
And I think here is the great, like the, you always be learning and working together of, you don't know what you don't know, and boy, you're jaded by what you think you know, right? That's why I asked that question, if I don't know, as a leader of the tribe, because behind the scenes, Nathan, our whole conversation on the way up here was kind of what he was just talking about, to where with, before I formulated the Art of Construction Master Facilitators, I had great mentors that meant that my father-in-law, who ironically sitting here, he originally built this house in the early 80s, and I came in and refabbed this house because I love crowds and have as much fun as possible. And my family would definitely. So I convinced the family and it was a great deal. And that's rewarding for me to be sitting here in this place doing this, because where I'm sitting was the patio of the old cabin when I came into the family. So I came into the family, and I tell you that story is because he said, Devin, you're really into windows and doors, and not the windows of tech people windows.
Yeah.
No, like windows that you see through, right? And we get very jaded on what we're talking about. He's like, if you're really going to do this, let's, two things. I want to help you buy a building that you can grow from within, because it's going to show you credibility in the market. And number two, you have to formulate an advisory council. And I said, what's an advisory council? He said, go figure it out and come back to me with a business plan, because he was a college professor and a business coach. And he formulated this tool called How to Live a Full Life Perspective, which is our whole stack we're building of how to live a field life perspective of connecting the field to the office, is my big, hairy, audacious goal with the Art of Construction Master Facilitators. And I tell you that story is because I didn't know, so I went to who I did know. And at the time, it was Anderson Windows. And I said, I'm your representative. My father-in-law wants to go big with me. I just bought a little company down in Centennial, Colorado. We had two offices. I worked for him for 3 years, bought him out. And the day I bought him out, I figured, how do I scale this thing? And there's this building I called, and I just started calling. And they're a big corporate company, and there's always the David and Goliath conversation every time you have these conversations. And I called my rep, and they're like, I don't know what you're doing. So I said, screw it. I went around and I started calling corporate. Nobody knew who I was. I just, because my whole, my golden nugget was my father-in-law to invest in this building with me, which is Nathan, where we record our podcast. I said, advisor, counselor, and I finally figured it out. It's just it's defined as, my Google is a group of people that know, like, and trust in each other that don't have a competition view.
Yeah.
That group is now, I just hit 6 years of running the Window Dealer Owner Council after being on Anderson's advisory council for 10 years. Cause the guy who actually run the company, they had this dealer meetup. I walk in and I had this special invitation and I got to go to the side, and I had just been calling, and his name was Sal Abate, one of the members. I had him on the podcast, and he left it as a secret, cause he knew I had the eye of the tiger and I refused to lose. And I walk into this meeting, and there's 10 of us. And there was little Devin Tilley, who didn't have a clue what he was doing. He was just listening from his mentor, his father-in-law, Greg Gebbin. And we went into this back room, and Sal's like, to take this business to the next level, I'm creating an advisory council. And he looked right at me. And I became his reverse mentor. And it was all these big lumber yards and these huge legacy companies, but they had been removed from working in the business. They only knew how to work on the business. And it's putting those two together. And it was such an honor to do that. But after 8 years of that, new brass came in, Sal left, new people, turning of the guard, the corporate way. And I was like, what the perfect opportunity to start my own.
Yep.
So I just hit 6 years of owning that. So there's 7 of us owners. Collectively, we have 24 locations throughout the whole U.S., and another mentor said, Devin, you got to know how to manage your data, but you got to get to a data set that's large enough to do that. And that's what we're all trying to figure out right now. So that story hopefully is valuable to the content crew, is that you got to be able to put the business and the technology together to a group of lifelong learners who have each other's back, that ride or die together, like we're going to do on the mountain today.
Yeah, the ride or die together. I love that, because we were just talking about this at MEP Innovations around the number of peer groups that are forming and trying to advise on just that process. I mean, that big data set is at the forefront of just about everybody's mind that we talk to.
And it's earned, not given. And the big companies are trying to earn that, but people don't want to give it away.
No.
Nor should they.
And what was interesting was, it was exactly that. And I even think these folks compete with one another on a recent one I was facilitating. And that's what I love to do, is facilitate those conversations, because I love the challenge. I love the questioning. Just like, you know, you said, going through, these folks were giving me their titles. And I'm like, what does that mean to you? Because I've heard that 3 times and each one of you defines it differently. Right. And they start to wake up to, oh, we're defining these things differently, which might seem interesting in your own company, but actually from an industry perspective doesn't help us, because we need to know what direction we're pulling and what we're trying to do.
100%.
And so that's...
And we've coined, like, the whole thing for us is blending on-site and off-site construction, DFMA. But right or wrong, I'm kind of creating my own art of construction terms.
Sure.
From within, for our, so we can understand how we're all going to collaborate together. And we call it system build construction. And it's finding the right vertical integrating tools, but it has to be done on projects. And you have to have the source of truth per the project. And when you say the source of truth is the art of construction master facilitators, but there may be a bunch of different things. And that's why I'm always collaborating to say, how do you figure out the lay of the land to actually meet up with the digital design in the computational power to actually connect the field to the office to have something work? Sounds really simple. My 25 years, I've been all in. Like, I'm a huge fan of your guys' podcast to go get. Am I the one that cannot articulate to move BIM forward for the last 10 years?
You are not alone, sir.
No. Maybe somewhere in here, it's misery loves company, right? Like, hey, we're on the struggle bus over here. We've got a seat for you. It's really warm.
The ones stepping up, talking about it. That's why I told those stories, that I hope, as a one, like a fan of a fan of a community and a leader, of to say, man, we're all in that boat. And there's so much, where it's the greatest time to be in construction. There's so much money to be had. Forget the mainstream news out there right now. It is the perfect time to be doing what we're talking about, but you better align with people, because innovation teams have to be doing in groups. And right now, the corporate world are cutting those innovation teams out when we're trying to build them up.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing, is we are seeing that. And that was an underlying, I'd call, you know, back of the house types of conversations we've been hearing along the way, is that, you know, things are looking tough for some of those companies along the way. And the first place they're chopping is innovation. And, you know, you go all the way back to the founding of this podcast with James Benham. The idea was that's the best time to shoot the gap. When everybody else is puckering and shrinking, if you can have the guts to shoot the gap, innovate still and push, that's the time you get ahead in the lead, right? Everybody knows I'm a big cycling fan, so I'm listening to cycling podcasts all the time. And the way I would say is it the person who can make the jump, right, and get ahead of everybody and get ahead of the peloton on their bike is the one who at the time when everybody's at the limit, they have just enough to go into that tank and push, and they're going to create a gap. No one's ever going to be able to catch them.
Yeah. And you have to be able to, if you jump the peloton, you better have a team that can, that you're working together on. And that's what I love. I'm not a cyclist, but I love the passion about who's taking the risks and the reward and who, what brand wins at the end and what name is up there. Yep. That fascinates me, just like the great game of business when it comes to construction of Matt McMullen, our executive director of Art of Construction. He had his own architect firm, came in-house, ran my window company. Then he ran our architectural services team in-house, and now we're branching that off. And it's those moments and times of lifelong learners that have each other's backs. He always talks about running between the raindrops, right? And coming yep. together to where we did a bunch of test projects. We did a 7-box modular house in your backyard in Vail. We just finished up. That was a painstaking process. But we did it. And now we can talk about how we did it. And the people in the Master Facilitators group are all jumping in together to say, you know what? How do you actually make money in construction? It's a little secret. You know who makes most of the money? The people who take the risk may or may not get the reward. And it's the developers that are holding back on a lot of these things because the people who have lived it know the mistakes, but they actually haven't been the one up above that. So we're really trying to take full vertically integrated projects and take these tools and say, you know what? It's not a nice to have. It's a need to have if you do it the right way.
Yeah, that's a nice one on the, you know, where's the money at? It's in the risk.
Yeah. Well, and having the data to back it up. And I think that's what you're working towards is having
yeah. And big shout out to you, Nathan. You and I have had a lot of conversations recently to where it was this aha moment. I always talk about 7 times for the first time. And people have a hard time getting into Devin's bowl full of noodles because I go all over the place, but it all comes back to this same goal. And as people get to know it, and Nathan and I are kind of cut from the same cloth, but coming from different directions, supply channel and kind of, you know, lean and integrated and DPR and your background. But we were sitting at a meeting in our experience center a couple of weeks ago, and we had Bill Allen in there from Evolve Labs. I've had him on the podcast a few times. And I just sat back and I was watching Nathan go through we're talking through about how he should really be involved in the upcoming summit in April. And I was watching and he latched onto this stack magnet and I paused and I was watching. I said, you know what? I got to say, when I first saw the magnets in the video, I was like, man, this is really like simplifying it. But the more I do it, like we have to take a step back, take a huge leap forward. And it's people like Nathan and the Construction Progress Coalition to come. And I'm all in of like, I want my magnet set to then take that. And we all come and it's all about handoffs because you can't just come to a conference. That's what drives me crazy about the Sea of Sameness at the International Builder Show. I've been going for 25 years and every year it's the same thing. I meet up with the same people to do business outside of that. Why can't we come to do business inside of that?
It's the whole standards dilemma, right? Because you got 15 companies that all want one standard, but they want it to be their standard. So, you know, how do you solve that conundrum? We're getting closer with APIs and interoperability and all this stuff, but there's still just a conceptual understanding of, yeah, Bill really latched onto the common data environment which, you know, has been a concept in the GC and the trade world for a long time now. There it is.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm serious. Like I'm all about like, this is an investment I want to make in my time and my team but make it our own because we were talking way up here of like, nothing should be printed or everything should be printed. Like, you know, you have to have these, let's bring a different set of tools that may not be something that's so crazy, simplify to multiply. Yeah. So I good on you for that, Mike.
It's the same reason an architect could never describe to you in written words what, you know, their design is. You have to have drawings or BIM or different ways.
Yeah, and you got
to
go spend the 10,000 hours before you get out of your own way, because I go in my window and door company now because I'm not in that business anymore. I'm still the sole owner of it, and I think that's pretty cool to be connected with boots on the ground but out there speaking the global megaphone. I'm constantly be like, you guys are way too window and door geek here. Like, you're talking about something nobody's going to understand. We're not marketing that, because the dialect of what you speak, everyone wants to be heard, but who's listening?
Right? It's like, you know, learning, like, oh yeah, I do need to dial down that part when I'm not in my circle of.
But then bring the right stuff to where I want to bring my system built magnets to your lean magnets to these gears to that gears and all come together.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to be salivating to know that, you know, there's somebody who wants to have your gears up in their office so that you could pop in at any time and take a look and be like, these are gears.
I didn't get it finished, but I was going to email it to you in the studio. You know, my big pros versus shows on the TV. It's coming down, and that's where I want to put the magnet.
Absolutely.
Well, right next to the big AOC.
But everything you've been trying to do with Art of Construction, of bringing architects and engineers in construction, which is it's a hard thing to do, right? It's meshing oil and water together. But you've been doing it.
But you've been created. Thank you for the aha moments of like bringing the people together of like, you got to meet them where they are and get them to buy into it and then move it around and change it a little bit. Right?
Yeah. Cause you show it to technologists and they're like, oh, that's cute. But like, cause they're way past that. Right. But then you show it to certain operational folks and it's you find certain folks where it really latches onto where they understand. And it's just growing that movement and growing that awareness.
Well, it's interesting because you brought it back to where we were early on in the show about meeting people exactly where they are. And I think the gears meet people who aren't really comfortable with the technology in a place that they can't interact with it. And they're not afraid. You're not afraid to break one of these magnets, right? But if you're in a system or you're trying to do so, you feel like you're going to break it, or you say something you think might be stupid because you're like, why is that gear over here and this document over here? And it looks like we have 12 of these documents. And they can visualize it too. So you're giving them another medium into the window to share. And like you said, it's you know, rising tide lifts all ships. And educating everyone and taking in their expertise just makes you and your company more powerful.
And the passions align, right? Mm-hmm. The podcast actually comes out. It's our next podcast. So it'll probably be released before around this, because we do all these recordings and we have a whole team that helps us put them together. But Nathan's is our next podcast being released. And we kind of try to put all the timing of putting this stuff together. And Nathan came in. I'm like, Nathan, it's audio only. Don't worry about your magnets. He's like, no, that's just how I do it. And he laid out. And it was magical. Even though it was audio only, I found myself articulating through the magnets. So just something I wanted you all to think about of like, you don't know what you don't know and you're jaded by what you think you know. Put yourself in places that you're a little uncomfortable, but not totally out of the wall. Because you have to be able to, when someone says, why are you here? You better be able to add some value or you're going to get pushed to the side.
Yeah, but also, you know, that uncomfortable space is where growth happens. Right. Like, everybody needs to understand that growth happens in that uncomfortable space.
And then that's Nathan's conference, that my whole push is to bring the Art of Construction to that, to come, because a lot of these smaller conferences, in my opinion, have kind of built up their own silos. And I love going to those because I come in and like, I don't speak agile like you guys speak agile.
Yep.
But you guys don't speak the different dialects of window and door like I do.
Nope.
But above that, I run the Art of Construction, which is matchmaking those things together, which I think is valuable.
But even terms like data drop chasm that, you know, picked up from Bill. And I think that's one that I now understand where that fits in our lexicon, and we'll start using that as well. So kind of that cross-pollinization of terms is how we rise the ties together, I think.
Yeah, I think, and I like this. I love a good segue. So a good segue is, for everybody listening, the three of us are going to be together at the AEC Integration Summit this year. So if you have not signed up and this is confusing you but interesting you, then you want to come and do it.
Well said. Because that's what we were concerned about this podcast. This is the call to action of like, if you're not paying attention to align and contact to move construction forward, then you're in trouble. Is it 2 years, 10 years? I've been saying it for a long time, but the people who are doing this are the ones that are going to.
I've been saying it for a while with you, but my guess now is I'm on 3 years. 3 years, it won't look anything like, and that'll that has a lot to do with the bringing in of AI and its ability to add an accelerant to things. And that's a whole longer talk, but we are going to be there.
But the people that are here with us on the other side of the camera is the reverse mentors who they're now coming saying, either I'm going to adapt to your platform or I'm going to build one. And they're in the past, we called it about crusty contractor refusing to change. It's total the opposite. Mm-hmm. And I am so excited for being the gooey middle of that.
Yeah, I think that's going to be great. And so, you know, Nathan, tell folks a little bit about it and then tell them how we're going to integrate the Art of Construction podcast into this one for us as well.
I mean, I think step one, if you haven't heard what Common Data Exchange or CDX is, listen to the Art of Construction podcast that I was recently interviewed on. Because, yeah, Devin, the way you made me slow down, as Jeff, you're good at doing as well, and ask those questions and go back and really understand the terminology of what we're trying to get at. Of we do have a lot of different perspectives that speak different terminologies and jargon and languages, and how do we get those folks to come together and solve problems in a really rapid pace using agile and design thinking and all these new terms that come out of lean. So yeah, we'll be together for 2 days in Austin, April 17th through the 19th. We'll be doing a ton of podcast recordings with Devin there, and Jeff will be emceeing again this year and running the show for us. So yeah, it's gonna be a lot. And Charlie Dunn, really excited to have Charlie Dunn with us this year. I'm gonna bring in some Lego serious plays. So if the magnets weren't playful enough, we'll have some Lego activities that are based on some. Also, yeah, innovation methodologies and some really cool learnings.
I will tell you, I'm bringing my innovation, you know, big hip waders, because I think the clash together of Lego serious play with the magnets might, you know, create some sort of innovation flood that I'm going to have to worry about.
And I got a few master facilitators coming as well. And I really want to lead up and start doing some homework going to and from the conference. And then we're going to have a follow-up retreat in the fall in Denver. Where, if you want to show notes, I'll give you the link where we have a retreat center in Westcliff, Colorado, that we're in this fall going to be going at and taking all these lessons learned to where I love kind of setting these moments of time to where my goal is when we come into a joint business plan session in the fall. I really think next year's the year where, you know, the interest rates might drop a little bit. All this money on the sidelines is going to go. Right now, people are, when it's bad, people think it's bad forever, good forever, and it's neither, yep. Right? So you have to be able to run between the raindrops, and we're kind of coming and clashing all this stuff together to come out of that, to be able to have the right design and built, to actually build with a T, not just digitally build a bunch of stuff. And that's what we're working towards.
I love that run between the raindrops, man. I want to steal that one.
Matt McMullen who taught me that.
Matt McMullen. All right. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah.
I'm going to steal that run between the raindrops. It is. You have to take those moments and opportunities and times to really innovate and shoot the gap. And I think you're right, too, because one of the other problems is come 2025, if you're right, and interest rates go down and a lot of that money comes off the sidelines, then your answer to me is I'm too busy, right? There's not enough work today, so I'm going to cut my innovation team.
The next 3 to 6 months, get your team and your data and your together to be the one to win when it's time to execute.
Yeah.
That's such a good point, though. It's either I don't have budget or I don't have time.
Yeah.
It's either one or the other.
And it's, you know, so when are you going to have time? Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we could go on forever. We are going to be together again. We're going to do some more recording and some more catching up at the AEC Integration Summit. So again, if you have not signed up for the AEC Integration Summit, go to constructionprogress.org and get yourself signed up, get your team signed up. Hey, if you have a BHAG around something, reach out to Nathan and you could get a crew of people out there, smartest people in the industry, helping to solve and identify problems and giving you a jump off point to solve
one of them.
Stuff.
Nathan got me to go. I'm getting people to come. He's been working a great package. I'm super pumped.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
We're looking forward to it.
All right, Nathan. Let's get into the news of the week, buddy. What do you got for me?
So I was perusing the LinkedIn's and with all this MEP talk at MEP Innovation this week, Allied BIM. Let me pull up my post here. Brian Nickel was sharing this video. And again, take a minute, go check out this video on the show notes, but it's basically showing what is possible now with this whole BIM to fabrication. And if you know exactly and have a fully coordinated model and you trust where the ducts and where the pipes and where the conduits are going to go, you can do all sorts of different degree and 360-degree 3D bends of large conduit now directly from BIM. So really cool stuff coming out of Allied BIM, and just, you know, really on topic for a lot of the discussions this week around building better relationships with our designers, with our detailers, understanding where is that line between design and fabrication, because, you know, it could be as easy as a push of a button, as you're seeing in the video here. So I don't know. I mean, Devin, this is certainly not your world. It's not windows and doors, but it is offsite, right? It's doing more of the work offsite as opposed to onsite. I don't know. Any of your thoughts on all this stuff of BIM to fab?
I have a lot of thoughts on this. And last question I always ask on the podcast, what is the future with technology and construction? And usually someone will say something about robots or this, and I've interviewed like Dwight from Offsite Tech, who came from ABB Robots and went toured their place in Charlotte and saw a lot of robots. And the whole thing was, we talked about earlier, is don't automate a shitty process, because then you just, robots bake a bunch of crappy stuff. And so it's all back to the same stuff. But once you do get it dialed in, a push a button can do a lot of cool stuff. But one of my favorite answers was a company called B Public Prefab, Jonah Marks, I asked him the question, he paused and he's like, humans. And I was like, and then his wife goes, build it like your kids are going to live in it. And that's their founding principles of B Public Prefab. There are no robots today, but they're starting with a core value and a principle to move it towards blending onsite now. So robots, maybe certain places, but I think it's bigger manufacturing versus the riches and the niches and putting that all together.
Yeah, I have to agree. I mean, this is where we were kind of talking about it earlier, and why prefabrication was the top at MEP was because really the collision of technology, robotics and manufacturing, and integrated building processes is really going to move it forward. What's crazy is I look at this, and I had a chance way back when, this was 10 years ago, to walk one of the first electrical fabrication shops right here in Denver. And none of this stuff existed. They were building, Encore Electric was building some of this themselves. They had brought people in from manufacturing, and they were sort of making some of their stuff work, and it's because none of this existed. And now we're, you know, 10 years down the road, and these, you know, robotic pieces that are doing the bends and doing the cuts and making sure, you know, it's got the highest level of quality is there. So it's really cool to see that in that short of a period of time, this is where we're at.
One quick other thing I want to add on that is, yesterday I introduced Jason Blanker to Nathan, who he built from a standalone modular factory to then adding robotics to it. And they sold it to a bigger company when they add robotics. And he's going to be our guest co-host at the conference. And he's coming from a whole life of going from, let's do it a better way, to doing a full automated robotics truss factory that he just finished building.
That's awesome.
I mean, speaking of humans, anytime you add a human into this process, you're adding that likelihood for error. And so I think, this eliminates a lot of that. But if you got garbage in with your data, you got garbage out, right? So I think it goes both ways. But very cool stuff from Allied BIM. My second article, want to give a shout out to our boy Hamza Shambari. He has published a book. I am very jealous. He's at the 50 pre-orders now, and definitely want to encourage more folks out there that are looking to learn more about the paperless builder, why, what, and how of construction technology. But I know I can remember Dave McCool put out a book back in the day on the BIM handbooks, and others that have, you know, put out publication before. Hugh Seaton, of course, put out a great book.
Yep.
But congratulations, Hamza, on getting more publications out there, creating different words, right? We have spoken word, we have written word, all the ways we can get the word out to folks so that they can learn this language and speak this language in their different ways.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. You know, there have been a number of books out. Our boy Brent Darnell, if you're looking for books, he's put out quite a few over the years.
Profit, yep.
What was that one?
The People Profit Connection was a great one.
Yeah, the People Profit Connection. Actually, I love his coloring books, by the way. So if you've never gone there, go to brentdarnell.com and check out the coloring books. It's coloring books for kids to teach kids about what a construction site is and what their parents might do, whether mom or dad is in that industry. And you can sit down and you can color it. You can have conversations and you can customize them too, by the way, if you want to customize them. And Brent is the one, I mean, I've talked to a couple of people recently who are like, yeah, this guy talked to me about, you know, maybe I should write a book. And I'm like, did you talk to Brent Darnell? And they were like, well, yes, yes, I did. I was like, well, that's great. Cause you know, what we're also trying to do is memorialize a lot of this. And so Hamza has this very unique perspective with Disrupt Tech, but also with Haskell and being a part of building. So he's kind of got what you have, this shift between multiple worlds. And so it's super cool to see him write it. And yeah, I'm with you. I'm a little jealous. I gotta.
Yeah, all different platforms, right? I mean, Devin, you're not working on a book too, are you?
No, my book is every podcast is a different chapter. And it's my, right. my master's program is from the School of Hard Knocks in the street from all these lifelong learners. Yeah.
I like that. I like that. We're both building that digital story. You guys can go back over all the shows and kind of hear what we think. You'll also, I mean, in all honesty, I've had a couple of folks say like, well, but I remember in the beginning when you said things like this and now you don't say those things. And I'm like, well, because I learned I was wrong. Right. Like, I mean, let's be honest, like I'm wrong a lot more times than I am right.
We all are. And that's what you, the more you do it, you figure out, the more you fail, the more you succeed.
Yeah.
All right. So what happens when AI writes a book based on all of your podcasts?
Which is, that's how I see that going. You know?
That's the only way I'll ever write.
Here's the beauty is it will be horrifically flawed.
Right.
Let's just be honest. There is a lot of companies we had on over the time that we were like, this is the end of this process and it will be gone. And they don't exist anymore. And we still do it an old way. And rightfully not wrong on them. You know, sometimes they were innovating on a process we needed to innovate on. We can always go kick the heavily kicked Katerra if we wanted to and talk
timing
about...
Timing is everything.
Timing is everything. And then now you look at Phantom Homes coming and they're doing a lot of this crazy stuff and they learned a lot from watching the decisions Katerra made. So, you know, we had that. That was on a show recently if you want to go back and look at Phantom Homes. So,
all right, what news do you got,
Jeff? All right, what news do I have? Surprise, surprise, AI. But I'm bringing back a friend, Wyatt Jenkins, from the SVP of product over at... Procore released an article on Commercial Observer about AI use builds in the construction industry. Pros in the field call artificial intelligence the biggest thing to happen to building since the mobile phone. And what I really like is a while back, Wyatt and I got a chance to meet before we were ever on the show together and really started rapping about what he saw large language models and what he saw out of the change. And he'd been around the industry for a really long time. And he was the one who said, you know, Jeff, it will be powerful once we stop talking about it, because basically what it's going to do is allow us to achieve goals we still had on the roadmap for 3 to 5 years in 6 months. And we're going to start to reach that holy grail of connected workflows because we can map them out and use the technology to grab the data and clean it, to connect it to new systems, and then release insights from that at a speed we could never do before. And, you know, again, these are waves. He's saying like, it's been around since 1980. He's right. But we're in the newest era of it with these large language models and what they're capable of doing and how the platforms that are able to leverage them in ways that solve problems for contractors is going to be huge. So, and you know, what I liked about it was this was what I got out of him sitting down and talking to him. So I wanted this to get to a few more people.
I mean, this reminds me of, we were just talking about the origins of the data drop chasm is the Gartner hype cycle, which, you know, starts with that peak of inflated expectations before the trough of disillusionment and then the slope of enlightenment. But I think in reality, especially with something like AI, there are waves of kind of peaks and troughs and peaks and troughs. And the question is this one actually going to be a trough into a slope of enlightenment or just a coming out of a trough into just another peak? That's my question is, how real is this wave? No doubt there's a wave, but is this going to be more hype or will it be reality this time?
Well, I thought this was this was a good one because also they quote who Rob Iona, who was just on a panel with Nathan here at MEP Innovation. And, you know, Rob and his group, Cisco Hennessy Group, are really involved in not only innovating and finding innovations, but investing in them. And, you know, I had Rob on not too long ago, and, you know, they invested in Open Space. They've invested in a couple of the other startups that we know along the way that aren't necessarily so much startups anymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're looking at this actively for companies that are really, you know, leveraging the power. So, and I'm interested, you know, Devin, having you here, what's your take on the change just from the seats you're sitting in right now?
My honest answer is right away, I was like, this is so great. And then I spent all this time that I didn't even know what I was really doing. So my honest answer is I'm going to really try to understand the gears going into the upcoming conference. And I'm not going to try to figure out myself how to use it. I'm going to go take a step back and tie it into the content crew and let the people who are spending way more time on this stuff than I have time or money to dedicate to that. And I'm gonna plug it in where the different digital tools tell me it should work in what we do.
That is that difference, right? It's like you don't have to necessarily understand how the tech works, but as a business owner, as whatever, like what data matters, you do have to be part of those conversations, right? And like who are the folks that provide that data? And I think that's where that nuance gets mixed up of like I'm not a tech guy or I'm not an operations guy, but I think we have to figure out how to bridge that gap between, yeah, operations doesn't have to know all the tech. Tech doesn't have to know all the operations, but we've got to overlap at some point.
So if you're really interested in the workflows, I'll share this out, but it'll be a good one because it goes on and on and on and hits a number of the different things that we're seeing in the industry at the moment. And my final one, this is a shout out to a good friend of mine who I just haven't talked to him in a while, but he released a great article. This is Shifting the Construction Paradigm: The Rise of Technology in Building the Future. And this is Hamad Chaudhry, VP of Innovation and Construction Technology at Ellis Don, mainly a Canadian-based. They are a Canadian-based company, very large organization with a really good strategy around innovation and the way they bring it into the company. He has an incubator inside of his own company. And when I think incubator, I think of like an early stage startup. It's not quite that kind of an incubator. It's an incubator of where you're more mature technology from that perspective, that you're not going in there with a framework and trying to just build it, but you're going in there with a product that, say, doesn't have a complete market fit. And they vet you, put you up on their internal innovation, and then teams have an opportunity to select and use it. But if they select and use it, then they have to give feedback and they have to get involved in the process. And it really works well. And his article here, two things. He's going after the future. You know, he's super focused on the new generation coming in. And every time I see him, he's got somebody else from the team with him that's new. Like you were talking about, Devin, he's constantly introducing new people to the industry, to the software companies, to the conferences. So he's at this force multiplier, but he's also, you know, really connecting with the future of professionals and seeing this as a place for emerging technology. And then, you know, he's also calling on those folks who've been around for a really long time and saying, hey, we need you to integrate your experience. I think Ellis Don is really following that process of democratizing the knowledge that could leave the industry on us. And so from that, you know, he's pulling on Crossing the Chasm. You mentioned that a little bit before, the Innovator's Dilemma. And I think, obviously, as an organization that large, the Innovator's Dilemma speaks volumes to them, because how do you, you know, make the incremental change you need in a construction company while not missing the opportunity to prevent yourself from being disrupted and be a part of it? And I think that's part of what they're doing. So,
I mean, I've always used the fourth industrial revolution, and I've seen a timeline before. This is the first time one of the graphics in here of, it calls it the long waves of innovation, but that there's, you know, actually we're in the sixth wave. And that each wave is sort of more rapid than the one before. And so whatever your memory was of how long that wave is, it's always going to be shorter on the next one. I think that just visually there's a lot of parallels. And yeah, I think I'm going to read even deeper into this. Thanks for sharing.
You're welcome. I'm interested, Devin, any thoughts on just, you know, these larger companies having to go through this process and stay on top of it?
Yeah, I think at any level, a company's trying to figure it out because the construction progress, you know, it's a circle, the handoffs of continuing to put all this together and the different waves. And, you know, I'm excited. I'd love an intro. And, you know, sounds like a great master facilitator, another lifelong learner that's, you know, refuses to lose in the passion, you know, the passion circles.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine putting you two in the same room together would be quite a fun opportunity to watch. That would go on for a while. That might be we might have to do a longer form podcast for that one for sure. Well,
and that's what we call a deep dive series, because you do have to keep, we only have so much time, right? So mm-hmm. we have to end this because we got, the sun is out and we got some hiking to do.
Hey.
So you have to put that in bite-sized pieces, but construction is not a one-sentence deal.
No, it is definitely not a one-sentence deal, and it is definitely an opportunity. And you're right, the sun is changing. It's time to get out there on that snow, time to get a little bit of that dopamine hit we need out there, those things we really live for. You know, it's not just coffee that I get it from, and it's not just this microphone. It's going to be some outdoor time with Devin here. So, Devin, thanks so much for sitting down with us.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't believe it took us this long, but hey, sometimes it's like a fine wine, man. It had to age correctly.
Days are long and the years are short, man.
I like that saying too. The days are long and the years are short. Nathan Wood, thanks for, Nathan was the organizer of this, sort of kept prodding me to get her done. I did have to go to Breckenridge, I'll tell you that. So I just want you to know.
Connectors connecting, as I said.
We'll show you.
Evan, keep up the passion. Thanks for all you do. And looking forward to more collaboration.
Likewise.
Oh, we're looking forward to it. And thank you for tuning in today to Geek Out for our interview with Devin Tilley. To read all our news stories, learn more about our guests, and to listen to this show, visit thecontactcrew.com. This is The Contact Crew signing out. Until next time, enjoy the ride and geek out.